June 23rd, 2007, it's the Wife from Pedro Show. Okay, Watt from Pedro show. You just heard Alley Juice by Ack Ack Ack. And we start off the show with I'm Old Fashioned by John Coltrane. It's June 23rd, 2007, like I said at the beginning. But I'm not in Pedro. I'm here in, I guess the town's called Pilton, or the closest town, but I'm on the grounds of the Glastonbury Festival. And so if you hear some sounds, you're hearing the sounds of the Glastonbury Festival second day.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the guest there. I have a special guest today. It's Mr. Sam Du. And Sam, you picked Alley Juice there by Ack Ack Ack. Tell us something about that.
Okay, they're a band from my hometown, Brighton. They're a three-piece, real good friends of mine, I thought it was a good one to start a show with, because Ack 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 is a song you know all about, obviously, with the Urinals cover, with Minutemen, and they're good pals of mine.
So they're from your town?
Yeah, from my hometown, Brighton.
And Brighton is by the water. And it's east of here. It's like maybe 100 miles south of London.
It's a fair way. It took me about 4 hours to get here in my car.
4 hours, and yeah. You had an adventure.
And then trudged through the mud, yeah.
Right. No, but you had an adventure driving.
This is it, yeah. No, I got it.
You ain't been driving for 9 months.
Yeah, this is it, man. I had the old camper van a few years back, and got rid of that. And it's been a fair while since I've actually operated accelerators and clutches and stuff like that. So I was getting a bit confused. It's pretty rural out here, so.
They call this part Wessex.
Yeah, well, we're West Country out here, so.
Where Brighton is Sussex?
Yeah, Sussex, that's it, by the sea, yeah.
Okay. But there's the east part too, by the sea. Essex.
Yeah. It gets kind of confusing.
Get the X's. Well, it kind of makes sense. the closest I ever played here before, five of those days, played Bristol.
Oh, okay.
Which ain't too far. In fact, I'm going to fly from there.
No, you're close to Bristol. Yeah, yeah.
And Pop Group was from Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was out here again, I mean, that was like 16 years ago, and then I was out here again with Stooges for Off Tomorrow Party at Minehead. Minehead is too far.
Actually, Portishead, Bristol group.
They are too?
Yeah, they're curating the next ATP.
Off Tomorrow
Party. Apparently they've got Public Enemy lined up, which we're all really excited about.
Yeah, one time I saw them play UCLA outside at lunchtime. For free, right under the ROTC building window. You know about ROTC?
Nah.
It's some kind of thing at colleges to train military officers.
Okay.
That could be an officer, you have to go to college. Unless you get some kind of battlefield thing. Yeah, otherwise you'd like to go what they call enlisted man. As high as you go is like sergeant or chief.
Mm.
So to be a white hat, you got to go do that thing. And to see Public Enemy, you know, below that thing, it was kind of a dangling duality there. It was Chuck D's voice, incredible.
Yeah.
Like Martin Luther King's or something.
Absolutely.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
And
he's a man who knows what he wants to say.
You know, I first heard them. Flav was with him, but it was early thing. It's a demo that Thurston gave me.
Uh-huh.
And it's before they had an album out. And it was three tunes. It was Bum Rush the Show and Uzi Weighs a Ton. God, what was the other one? There was a third one too. And they were really intense. When the album came out, I'm saying this because when the Public Enemy first album came out, it sounded like a toy. It was so tiny compared to the tape that Thurston gave me.
Well, so, I mean, it's just a beautiful thing with Public Enemy that, you know, the fact that there's. It's not a normal way of making music. It's quite dissonant, and I thought it was quite exciting at the time. I was about 14, and well, it's one of the first shows I remember going to, like seeing Public Enemy in my hometown.
I'm playing over here.
Yeah, in Brighton, and it blew my mind. You know, they had the S1Ws up on stage.
Yeah.
I thought I'm seeing something really special here.
And, was Griff with them?
Yeah. Professor Griff was there, and. The music is just it's fascinating structurally, isn't it? It's there's not like necessarily melodies following the whole way through. There's a siren going off.
Yeah.
Just a heavy beat, you know.
Living bass head.
Yeah. you know, we're really stoked because we've got Chuck D on Go Team. Next Go Team.
Right, you guys got a new album.
We got a new album, just finished it off. It's, you know, it's being mastered and all that gubbins. But yeah, we got Chuck D at the last minute. We've been asking him for ages, and I don't know, maybe the message got as far as his management, all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, how'd you get a hold of him? How'd you ask him?
It was an idea that Ian, band leader Ian from Go Team, he had, you know, he's obviously a big fan of Public Enemy, and it was always an idea that we'd try and get a guest on this record. And we always thought, no, there's no way he'd do it, you know, be too busy, or he'd not heard of us, or whatever. And we sent him some stuff, work in progress. But he finally came up with the goods, man, and yeah, we're well happy with it.
I heard he's really cool people.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I've not met him in person. It's all done. It was all done remotely,
yeah, right,
and stuff.
But I've met people who met him, and he's really open to music and doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And, he's just a good cat,
yeah.
You know, as a person,
yeah.
And, not too full of himself.
Now all those
I'm
guys,
glad, yeah,
guys from those era, like, you know, Boogie Down Productions, all those old hip hop guys. They're, you know, big inspiration to me musically. Like, that's what I got into as a teenager. And later on, I sort of started discovering other things like folk music, but I was a big like hip hop head for quite a while. That was what was
I got to play with Schoolie D.
Really?
In his town, in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
And it was in the late 80s, and people were saying, yeah, you can't play with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's the wrong music and stuff.
Yeah.
So finally, I just made calls just direct.
Mm.
And he was way into it. And then, in fact, at the gig, he took his sunglasses off and said, hey, I'm Jesse. Shook my hand.
That's
and
cool.
He came on there with Code Money and just, it was. Kim and Thurston drove down from New York. It's only like 100 miles from
of course, because like,
and
the whole cool thing, Chuck D did the cool thing.
Right.
With Sonics.
I think Goo.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that was by accident. He just happened to be around at that studio that they were working at.
Ah, really? So
I was talking to Thurston about it.
Yeah.
And I think in the cats from those days, there's a parallel to punk.
Mm.
It was their kind of trip on the same thing, where it was more go for it.
Kind of maybe didn't have all the sort of, you know, music college skills or anything like that. It's all about just figuring it out with what you've got to play with. And there's groups, UK groups like Hijack and Gunshot, that were making punk music, but it was hip hop. And that was the kind of stuff I was really getting into.
So the rap, hip hop, no sense you can call it hip hop. It was like rap. It's okay with me, I don't care. And then folk, you say?
Yeah, my mum, you know, this whole thing of, you know, your mum gives you a record that she had as a, you know, a younger person, and like, it was, Bob Dylan 7-inch with Karina on one side, and I just started really getting into folk music, and I...
She gave you a single.
Yeah, and I discovered, like, the Beach Boys. I'm a young teenager, you know, I've kind of got really into rap music, and then I sort of suddenly went full circle and got into really old folk music forms and stuff like that. And it's been really interesting to end up in a band like the Go Team, because it draws from all those different influences, and it's quite a natural place for me to be as a musician. But it's kind of a bit of a coincidence, really. But I'm quite comfortable with that mixing of genres. I've never been I'm into one scene kind of person. I've always picking about, you know.
Well, you got the rap, and then you got the folk.
Uh-huh.
But in the Go Team, you play a lot of guitar. So were you playing folk guitar? Is that the first kind of guitar you played?
Not really. I mean, I had a similar journey.
Rap guitar?
I had a similar journey to a lot of people. You know, I'd get into people like Hendrix and stuff.
Oh, so you're listening to rock music,
so
too.
Just to rock music.
Right.
A key changing moment for me was hearing people like Sonic Youth, who start, you know, tuning the guitars differently and do something a little bit strange with the format. And
do you remember the first time you heard Sonic Youth?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it was a real, you know, mind blow, like hearing those guys, you know, the dissonant sound and everything. It's before then, obviously Hendrix would bend his guitar out of shape, but with Sonic Youth, it was a whole different
sound.
Oh,
you've seen him.
But But yeah, with Sonic Youth, it was it really opened up.
I mean, so you were born after 71?
76, yeah.
So Jimmy was a little...
Yeah. He'd done his thing.
He's in the next shift.
Yeah. But I'm a grunge kid, you know. I grew up listening to that stuff. We got to support Sonic Youth. Goteen did a while
back. But you heard him before that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, from a teenager, I was really into...
And what was the first thing you heard of him?
I don't know, like Bad Moon Rising or something.
Oh, that album.
Yeah. And, anyway, so like, we were...
What's your thing when you heard that?
Well, we just wanted to tune our guitars different. That was the first thing that happened. It's like, okay, forget standard tuning. Let's get busy with, like, tuning our guitars different. In fact, I had, like,
You could tell they were tuning different by hearing it.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And,
did you have training before?
No. We just could tell. I've got a big list. I don't know. I mean, we didn't use guitar, like, stage tuners or any of that kind of stuff, but we would do it by ear, and we'd, you know, tune strings to doubles. Like,
you know, it wasn't Karina.
Yeah. And, it was far out. I started a band with a friend, Simon Vincent, who, if it wasn't for him, I don't know if I'd be doing music now. He's a real inspiration. He always had a way of thinking left to centre, you know. When we started doing these tunings, we didn't have a bass player, so we decided to put a bass pickup parallel with the E string, you know, the bass E string. And then instead of having a normal guitar string, we'd have like a bass string in place. We'd have to carve out the head nut so it fitted properly.
Yeah.
And then, of course, then came the idea of putting a separate output for the bass.
For that pickup, which is
aligned just with that string.
Yeah.
And we'd have that going through an octave pedal.
To get even lower.
Yeah, to, you know, head even further into the depths of bass. And this was an idea that my friend Simon had. And it was all tied in with, like, looking into different tunings. So we wouldn't be doing that if we were just tuning E, A, D, G, B, you know. And, that was a big part of my musical journey, because we felt that we were just going on a different path there. And of course, it got a bit impractical, so we ended up with lists of different tunings and...
The book.
No guitar.
You know about the book that Sonic had?
Yeah, one guitar, you know, like, not like a rack of guitars
that
you can get, like, if you're in a big successful band.
So there was time between the songs.
Yeah, it was like three songs and a gig or something, but it was always, you know, slightly out of tune, which kind of... lended itself. It's a band called Lurlux. I'm gonna pick a tune for you.
Let's play some right now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. on your knees and it breaks your heart, 'cause you gave so much and you can't believe that you hit the ground and notice you're losing your breath.
Now we are. That was fucked up. Just for that little spiel.
You did it for me.
Yeah, for you, Eric. Hey, I fucked up there because I forgot to hit the record button. And we had a great anecdote and spiel and all this, but we're trying to redo it somehow. Probably not. It'll be different. But let me tell you the songs. That was Fake Friends, a Joan Jett cover by Smokin' Emery. And Another Room before that by Marina Faye. Arigafia di Noi and Tema by Cartavero, and we started with Untitled by Lore Lux. Now Lore Lux was the first band that Sam recorded with.
Yeah, I mean, I'd kind of done some stuff before, but Lore Lux was the first time that we really thought about what we were doing, you know, in terms of sort of how we tuned our guitars, and we kind of got rid of the standard tuning, very much inspired by Sonic Youth and later people like Nick Drake as well doing it on an acoustic guitar, you know. But yeah, we decided we wanted to mess with the format and we were going to kind of change our approach. And yeah, it was a good thing because it was a real journey and it felt like you're out at sea without a paddle, really. You know, it was quite odd because you're playing a guitar and you don't really know where the notes are. Therefore, you're finding completely different things. You know, we'd have
because the tune.
Yeah, and we'd have like we'd have a bass string where the bass E would be, and we had a pickup aligned. We fitted pickups on our guitars that were aligned with that, and just picked up that one string and send it to a separate output through an octave pedal. You know, and a bit of distortion, and we were like really messing with it, getting a really big sound, and it opened up dimensions for us.
And who's playing with you?
It's a guy called Simon Vincent who
so it's just two man band?
No, it was the lineup changed a few times. We had
on this thing here?
It's a guy called Brian Kim from San Francisco who's a really dear friend of mine.
He's living in Brighton?
Yeah, he's a friend of Daniel's from Smokey Emery as well, and like he doesn't live in Brighton, but he came to live here for a while. Not here because we're in Glastonbury, but he came to live in Brighton for a while, and I met him through a mutual friend, and we started jamming, you know, down in a rehearsal room, and he's got a real flow, you know. He hits the drums slightly off, slightly behind. He's got that real slap, sort of slap.
He's a drummer.
Yeah, he's a drummer.
Because you play drums too. Now that came after the guitar.
Yeah, well, going back to this guy Simon Vincent, Vinny, friend from school. Like, I met him when I was 14, and I've got a lot to sort of thank him for, really, because he really introduced me to, you know, music, thinking about it in lots of different ways, and he could play all these different instruments, you know. I like, you know, that whole kind of jack of all trades but master of none kind of approach, and he sort of showed me that there's a lot more to playing music than just sort of learning up a cover version or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and we were tuning our guitars different. He could play lots of different instruments. I was like, oh, I don't want to be, you know, just on guitar. I want to learn drums as well. You know,
because he was doing it.
Yeah, so we started.
God, I wish I would have known some music. Yeah, we didn't know anybody like that.
He was, you know, my first real inspiration, actually, dear friend, and you know, major inspiration in music. And we put this band together called Lure Lux, played a bunch of shows. This guy Brian from San Francisco. In fact, that was our first trip to the States. We went out and played a few shows.
This is recorded in the US.
That wasn't, but we did record some stuff in San Francisco in a big lockup in a warehouse somewhere. I can't remember where in San Francisco, but I've copied that view as well, or whatever. But it was an absolutely. I think it was the whole doing that band that opened my mind up to different ways of doing music. I could have taken a completely different path, but that band sort of opened my mind up to experimentation and not just taking a format that's been handed down to you.
Yeah. We didn't know. There's no punk yet. We didn't know. We had no idea playing for people. We didn't know you could do this shit. We thought the best you could do was copy that song in your bedroom.
I mean, that's an important part. That's an important part, isn't it? I mean, you know,
it's build a model. Huh?
Yeah, you know, I've done the whole kind of trying to do my best at being a Hendrix thing in the garage as a kid. You know. But
did you do the thing before where you don't even have a guitar? You got a broom. And you play the record, and you just fucking take. I did this in Navy Houses before I meet even D Boo.
Air guitar now is a kind of as an actual thing, don't they? They have air guitar competitions. It's a strange time.
This was the 60s, and they didn't have any idea that, you know, only special people learned this machine. Other people, you get the broom and you can. So we got the garage, of course, the lights are out. Nobody wants to see each other doing this shit. And you play the record, and it's American Woman for 6 hours. And then, I meet D. Boone, his mom's got him playing guitar, wants me on the bass. So now we're doing 6 hours of American Woman. You know, all out of fucking tunes. And just the whole idea of, like, we didn't have other live dudes to know. You know, we didn't know. We were alone. The punk trip. That's what I'm saying to you. Before I forgot to hit the record button, you know. But the Joan Jett, seeing the Runaways. And Joan Jett was an intense persona. Mm. And she ain't got a fucking tambourine. I've never seen a woman play in a rock band. Mm-hmm. Step one. Mm. Time I saw Alice Cooper, and the opening act was Susie Quattro. And she played bass. And not tambourine. It was the main thing, and it was a rock and roll trip, a Detroit band. And most of the time, and then the next time was Joan Jett. And then the punk scene comes, and a lot of Hollywood bands have girls in the bands, and it was a heavy deal. And in fact, a lot of them are on bass, because bass, now this band here, you have no bass.
Yeah, this is it. We had to compensate.
When was the first time you got the one string with the one pickup? When was the first time you play with a bass player?
Well,
did you dabble with that? Did your friend play it?
Just guitar and drums? We didn't have the bass for quite a while because we were into this whole kind of, putting the bass through, alternative tuning with the bass string where the E string on a guitar would be.
But, have you ever heard of Charlie Hunter?
No.
San Francisco cat. Now, he plays the guitar with the top three strings as bass strings. This guy's wild.
I mean, it's like that guy from Lightning Bolt. He's got an interesting thing going on.
He's got banjo strings on his ears. Brian Gibson. Yeah. I met him. He's cool. But Charlie, he can play like bass licks. This is like a virtuoso kind of Nels Klein kind of. Not like Nels, though, in a way. I mean, as much as technical, but it's not as earthy.
Being in the Go Team is the first time I've been in a band.
The first?
Well, no, I mean, I've worked with bass players.
I saw you play bass on one of their songs.
Oh, yeah, I play bass in a Go Team song, doing it right. With a plectrum, you know. I'm not proper. I don't know how to do the...
What
do you call it? The...
Fingers.
No, what do you call it, though? The
flipper.
The flipper.
But look, I seen that one, so that cat was using the flipper and the fingers and slapping.
I can
pick all the same song.
I can only... I
know, the only device to work that thing. It's just a low-end frequency. In fact, people do it with these synthesizers.
Yeah.
Some pretty fat, low-end.
Oh, man, like we watched...
And you did have somebody playing kick drum. You had two... beaters on the same kick drum, right? You were working with some low end.
Oh, absolutely. And the bass unit is what we called it with the pickup thing. We called it the bass unit. It's pretty fun.
Who got to work it?
Me and Vinny.
You?
Both of us.
Both?
Yeah, we both had them.
Oh, wow.
We'd flip between. Yeah, yeah. because he invented it, and I was like, I am very jealous of him. I want one. So like we spent in his mum and dad's garage, we spent a funny weekend, you know, as teenagers, sort of like carving into our guitars. Mine was made of this really cheap wood, and when I was carving into it, it started turning into cornflakes. I was like,
whoa,
is this such a good idea?
Yeah.
Eventually I got the bass pickup sat in there, and yeah,
you soak it right in the wood.
Yeah, it works a treat. Yeah.
But you know, you're learning by doing.
This is it, yeah.
That's wild.
No, we would stick
find your own way.
Contact mics to things. That was another thing. You know, the contact mics that you can put on a Surface and they pick
up vibration.
Yeah, so we'd get into buying them up and sticking them to things and hearing the sound that it would make on a percussive surface. So we had this old standard lamp that we'd had by the drum kit that had big springs on it. We'd stick the contact mic to that, and that would be something we'd strike out with a drumstick, and you'd get a big, you know, have that going through some old reverb unit, and you'd have this, all this stuff going on, and it you know, it was just our way of sort of doing things a little bit different, but not just for the sake of being different. It was just, you know, these sounds excited us.
Yeah, you know, the Stooges started there playing Blender and vacuum cleaner and shit.
Yeah.
The gig would be one song.
Well, it's like the Glenn Branca thing. I know that's a slightly different gig, but it's the, you know, it's the whole thing.
He's going to do it in London, in Dublin.
Yeah, can you put in a good word for us?
No, he gave you no problem. Problem with me, I got gigs when it's happening.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
But we want to do it. He needs 100 guitars.
Yeah, well, Go Team want to do it. So.
Is that right?
Yeah, we want to do it.
The one hard part is you got to read.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's cats.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and there's cats there to help you. There was a guy with us who was an iron worker who played Johnny Winter blues. He had never heard of any of this avant-garde stuff. He's from Pedro. And I put out the word, and he comes aboard.
Yeah.
And, man, he got into it.
Yeah.
He was like, whoa! I mean, this guy had never heard any of this in his whole life. And that gig blew his mind.
We'd love to do it. And I know Vinny would as well. From Lulux.
Is Vinny still playing?
Yeah. I hope so. I haven't spoken to him for a long time. He's started a family, and he's got a career on the go.
Yeah. But maybe other side.
He's a musician at heart, so I know.
If you can get some music from him, can you flog to me?
Yeah, totally, absolutely. Yeah.
We're gonna play something else by you here. So listen up. Thank you. All right. Juan from Pedro Show. That was at Giza's End by Ohm. And we had a project that Sam did with DJ Scotch Egg called Untitled. Actually, it's got a name, right? It just came out on a compilation.
Yes, it's come on a compilation, but I haven't got a copy of the compilation yet.
So he doesn't know.
I don't even know.
Now, but the band's called Same Things.
That's right, yeah. That's a project with DJ Scotch Egg, myself. And
right, when I came here Wednesday.
Also, Ashley Marlowe from Charlottefield, who's a dope drummer.
So it's a trio?
Yeah, it's a trio, yeah.
Power Troika.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, love trios.
Yeah.
More room in the boat. Let's competition from Dave. Is there a bass player in the band?
Well, Shigay, yeah. Shigay, who's DJ Scotch Egg, plays bass. Yeah.
On this track?
Yeah.
Of course, I just heard it.
Oh, on this track, he plays all kinds of stuff, but yeah, he
but
plays bass.
One of them. Where's that cat from? Because when I came to town here Wednesday, or Tuesday, not this town, but London, he was doing a gig. Now, this is a man who usually makes music with a Game Boy, but he had a whole band, right?
Yeah, well, he's playing right now, actually, here at Glastonbury. We should be there, but he's playing. He's got a band with two drummers, Ida, who's I think he was in the original lineup of the Boredoms, and another drummer from a Brighton band called Trencher, a guy called Liam, and Shigay is conducting and doing stuff on his Game Boy. It's a really weird setup. It's a really unusual band.
And you're a big DJ, Scotch DJ fan.
Oh, of course, he's a good buddy. And
how'd you meet him?
Well, as he said in a radio interview a while back, we did a BBC thing. Well, I managed to get into this BBC radio interview about his music, and Phil Jupiter, the Radio 1 DJ, was like, "Well, where did you meet Sam?" And DJ Scotch Egg was really tired at the time. In pub. So that's how it goes. We met in pub.
All right.
I've known him for a few years.
We got to hold on a little bit because it's in the first hour.
Yeah, okay.
June 23rd, Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. June 23rd, 2007, the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Weary-eyed people spy. For real.
Watt from Pedro show. That was 16 Children's Eyes by I'm Being Good. And we had Ashway with Nothing Gonna Change My Way before that. Hitting Her Just Gone by Cavado. And we started off with Hungry Bear by 100 Pets. Now, 100 Pets is your current band, Sam.
100 Pets is more like a solo project that I've had going on for quite some time. I guess it's my little reclusive corner of songwriting. And I've, you know, been in bands, Lurlux, and currently the Go Team. But 100 Pets is kind of my little hideaway project, you know, where I kind of just write my own songs and lay them down. Sometimes it's just, you know, just myself, but other times I work with some other guys. As Simon James.
Like, who was on that song there?
That was
that's a new record, right?
No, that's actually that's an old one. The stuff you played on.
That's a new shit.
Yeah, on the last two shows. This is an older one. Yeah.
So was this the first release?
Yeah, the
first. How long ago?
The first and only release. It was, oh man, it was going back a while.
But you got this thing that gave me is coming.
Yeah. I'm working on some new stuff, and it's all trying to fit it in between Go Team shows and.
You know, we ain't got to Go Team yet. So you got to talk about that. How'd that happen for you?
Well,
that's a little later after Lil Lux, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of connected in terms of timelines to 100 Pets, because I released this record, Easter Songs, on Pickled Egg Records, a small little like bedroom-run label in Leicester. Daniel Johnston's put some stuff out on it. It's a really interesting, eclectic little label. And that's where the first Go Team 7-inch came out, which was Ian, band leader and songwriter, put out his first Go Team single. So we learned that we were living in the same town, we were on the same label, and that's how we met. So I guess in a funny sort of trajectory, that's kind of how I ended up in the Go Team, because I was doing stuff as 100 Pets. I was also in this band, I'm Being Good, that we just played.
Last song.
Yeah. So the song that was just played, actually, I wasn't playing on that. That's their most recent record called Family Snaps, but I was in that band for about 4 years, and that was real fun because that's quite angular, sort of again tuning all the strings to one note and, you know, making it quite dissonant in some way. And that's kind of how I ended up in the Go Team. Right,
you're on the same label.
Ian checks me out in I'm Being Good, playing some shows.
He's living in the same town.
Yeah, and also like doing the 100 Pets stuff on Pickled Egg. And
that's why I said same label.
Yeah,
same town. He comes and watches you play.
Yeah. So
he ain't got his band yet, but he's making these songs in his bedroom.
Yeah, and he's invited me to be part of the band.
Because he wants to be playing these live, so he wants to put together a band.
And we just had this gig offered to us.
So you're the first Go Teamer.
Well, one of them, yeah. I think it was me and Kai. He knew Kai, the drummer, but he was just piecing together like some ideas for who would play.
Because he has the songs first.
Yeah,
I don't really understand how it happened.
Well, Ian approaches songwriting in quite an unusual way, because a lot of it's to do with the samples. A lot of it is about sampling like old sort of, you know, Motown type records, or lifting a hip hop break from something, and it's all about meshing it together, and he likes to bring in so many different influences. I guess that whole Jack of all trades, master of none thing worked in my favour, because I could play by this time, because
you could make it be live,
you know.
So
like I was a candidate to be in the band,
because he's using actually pieces of music to make the songs and to actualize them. He's going to have to some cap
that can play a few different things. So that was my route into the Go Team, which has obviously been an incredible experience, because I've travelled the world with it. I've met yourself.
Tour.
Yeah.
Was that his plan right off the bat, or was it just to do Brighton gigs?
No, it's well, in terms of the Go Team, we didn't really work the Brighton circuit. It was it was a really weird thing, because we were a Brighton band, but we didn't really have that normal route of playing, say, the Free Bar and then working our way up. We just had a strange opening to do this festival in Sweden. It was with some fairly big bands, simply because the promoter had got a promo of the record, presumed that there was a band in existence, but the band didn't exist.
Oh.
And then it was like, okay, Ian was like, right, I'm going to put a band together.
Do this festival.
Yeah. And it was a bit of a wing it kind of situation.
Sure.
But it worked out well. I mean, the first gig was pretty damn ropey, but you know, we've grown and, you know, we got more bookings and we're here now at Glastonbury, you know, so.
You made us a new album.
Yeah, the new album.
Did you bring some there?
Huh?
Did you bring some?
Well, I think I, one of the script, like a vice, you played on a.
Oh, yeah, 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 you flogged me that.
But,
you can bring it in today?
Not today, but.
When does that thing come out?
Comes out in September. But yeah,
but you're touring it now.
Yeah, I mean,
you're playing here tomorrow.
Yeah, and we're straight off to China after this. But I tell you, right. this is going to be freaky, man. We're going straight.
I got some friends who played there, even a little punk bands.
Yeah.
I want to play there. Yeah, Sisters in the Pit played there. The Urinals played there. Then we were talking about John Jones. The Urinals, because that song Yak Yak Yak. Band called that.
Yeah.
But we actually, Miniman, were big fans of a band called The Urinals from the 70s.
Yeah.
West LA, UCLA film students, they had a band called The Urinals, and they had a song called Ack, 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 Ack. For some reason, the Minutemen only did three acts. Because I think we only did two of the verses. Because they had three verses. And so we shortened their title even. But these cats, well, John Jones, just a couple weeks ago, had a heart attack. 50 years old, and had a heart attack. It almost killed him. But he pulled through, ICU, the whole deal, and he's on the mend now. Getting fixed up. Yeah, because he's a sweetheart. Mm. He's a huge influence on our band. This is the bad thing about getting older. One of the bad things. Although you can lose friends when you're younger too, but I'd like the odds kind of go up. And especially now you're for bad behavior. Just bodies breaking down and shit. So thank God John's still around. He's got a new band too. I think The Chairs of Perception it's called. And it's kind of like Urinals Vince Power Trio. And Kevin's on drums too. I was telling you, these guys, when they started off, it was a kitty drum set and Paper Skins, and John and Kel threw the same amp.
They put out a good sound, though, with those kitty drum kits. We've got a couple, like, goatee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've got one. One of them I took back to my pad, and I'm trying to figure out how to record it, like, nice, tight bass drum sound, like that sort of pitched-up sound.
Pitched-up paper head. You know, Scotty was using some toy thing to do the Stooges demos. Yeah, I saw it. I saw it. And, you know, I went to the Miami house after they'd all worked it out. And I saw the drum set was in a fucking glass cabinet that was like this, packed into a little.
I'm a big fan of like small sound as well as like big, expansive, epic sounds. I love kind of bedroom DIY sound, you know, like picking up some little drum in your room and kind of figuring out how to mic it with a cheap mic. And you know, you work that bit harder because you don't have the expensive gear, but you have some interesting thing that makes a sound. And
sounds are sounds.
Yeah.
You know, who really knows the price behind the sound until some cat tells you?
In fact, I built this thing out in when we were in San Francisco with Brian Kim from Lulux. We built this thing, we called it the Sonic Stairway, and it's a wooden structure with four bass strings on each step, like going up like that, and you have it by the side of the drum kit. Obviously, you tune them to a certain note, but while you're playing the drums, you strike out. You basically get it, you know.
So it's percussive. Kind of,
Wow. Had trouble getting it back through customs. It had all these loose wires.
Some
kind of bomb or something.
Right. Like this microphone. I get that shit. Hunter Pets is ongoing then.
Yeah, it's an ongoing
thing. You're doing a new record, and you got some tunes. I've already played a couple of them.
It's slow.
What about this thing you asked me about putting bass on? Is that going to be 100 cats?
That's absolutely, I've got a few tunes lined up, if you like.
I'm into it. I'm into it.
Yeah, so it's an ongoing project, you know. I've got, a bit like we're doing this radio show now backstage at Glastonbury, I've got a laptop computer with all these songs sort of running on, and I'm kind of recording bits when I can. I mean, I was doing a bit of I like my like little acoustic instruments as well. I was doing some ukulele kind of stuff in a hotel room in Germany, and you know, I'm just trying to sort of piece it together in all the gaps between goatee and tools.
It's kind of neat that you can do that. You can pick up, leave off, pick up, leave off.
Well, you know,
and not even have to spend a lot of money to do it.
Well,
that's a great thing. When I hear about bad old days or good old days, there's some good things about that. Oh, you got those for Iggy. All right. Very much respect.
Iggy's wellies.
Yeah, they call the boots here welly, and I guess it's short for
Wellington boots.
Wellington? Okay. But is there other people who make boots? Or do they got the... They're the monopoly.
Well, they've got the monopoly. I mean, they're made by different manufacturers, but
they're the big guy. Well, we should talk about Glastonbury. Even though that the sun came out, the clouds are magically blown away.
Yeah.
It was raining when we got here. Me and the crew guys, and I was waiting for you to go get the music and your coach.
It took me about an hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, and it was coming on me.
This place is a town. I mean, it's not just a festival. The size of this place is unbelievable. It took me, an hour and a half to get from backstage here to pick up machines from the car.
Now, you're playing tomorrow with Go Team, but you've been here before.
Yeah, well, we played John Peel's stage 2 years ago, and in fact that was the real deluge when the rain came down big time. I mean, it's been pretty bad this time, but the heavens opened up, you know, it was an act of God situation.
We're talking the end of June.
It's a leap of faith, man,
not like SoCal, okay?
our PA went down, in the gig, and we had all the monitors were up and running.
Sure.
So we're throwing ourselves about the stage thinking we're having a good gig.
Yeah.
Looking out at the audience, nothing. No, nada, just like completely still. We're going down like a lead balloon, but then it just dawns on us when this guy grabs us off stage that something's wrong.
There's no sound. You're minding it.
Yeah.
I played Wednesday night, my amp, but luckily I had a direct on the bass. But that's happened to me a few times. But you don't hear anything, you know, it's your boost. But you can't, let it whoop you. You guys, because it was still coming through your monitors.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's why. What about when you ain't got nothing? That's real showbiz when you just keep going. One time I rented an amp on a tour, it blew up the first gig. I had to do a whole tour direct box. I hear one note. Oh my God.
Living on a
plane. That was, you just had to. What I told myself was, why? You're getting in for free. Mm. Those cats are paying. You've heard it before.
Yeah.
You know, just go out there and play it.
Yeah,
it's kind of a thing, though. I call those things character builders.
For sure.
You know what? This is what blew me away. Okay, I know about Go Team, right? This festival, because that mud in my lame knees, I'm scared to go around in that mud because I'll be a cripple.
Yeah, fair play. It's getting viscous now as well. That's the fascinating thing about the mud is, it's meant to all be about the music, but once it's rained, it's all about the mud. You know, everyone's kind of tripping out, walking around, and this mud's changing form. It's like you're in charge.
Geography is heavy. People ask me about towns and countries and people. I say people are people. But it's really different than geography and weather. That is the ultimate reality. Unless you're in some air-conditioned, heated cell, you know. If you're really dealing with the thing, the element, it overbears everything.
It's
sort of like a toothache. I'm going to put this in its place. No, you're not. It's going to overbear every thought you have in your mind.
But the beautiful thing about Glastonbury is that people make the most of a bad situation. And, you know, when it comes to rain and mud, I mean, 2 years ago, people's tents were washed away and those people stayed for sure, you know what I mean? Just got on with having a good time.
It's got a lot of traditions from the 60s.
Yeah,
it's a hippie kind of thing that's turned into
grown and grown. I mean, the event organizer, Michael Evis, must sometimes wonder what he's spawned, because I mean, it is the size of a town, this place.
I heard it kind of changed as some corporations bought into it.
It used to be
maybe 40 pounds, and maybe now it's 300.
Of course, it's like everything in the world.
150 or something.
Any kind of gentrification. I think one of the things.
Anything successful gets co-opted.
But I mean, it's not too bad because a lot of people are coming here simply to rob other people, just to kind of steal from tents and stuff like that. So
wow.
There's a lot of criminal activity, and there still is. But at least now, security stepped up a bit, so the people coming here are a bit more genuine music fans or just want to have a good time.
But I hear there's other stuff, comedy and acting
anything you want, you'll find.
And that's probably from the hippie tradition.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, crafts and shit.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I saw a lot of protest art on the fences.
There's the druids up in the Stone Circle. And
because we're near Salisbury, which is where Stonehenge. So Perkins told me this great story. He's on tour with Tommy Lee because Tommy wants to play guitar and rap. So he gets Perk on drums.
He's
on drums, yeah. It's called Mayhem. Mayhem or not.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name. Anyway, they're on tour.
Yeah.
And they're coming by in Salisbury, huh?
Mm.
And Perk and his wife, Sydney, they want to see it.
Yeah.
So you have the bus driver pull over.
Yeah.
And Tommy's conked or something. And they went down there to go see it. And all of a sudden, they hear this yelling. They look back at the bus.
and it's Tommy, and he's going, "It's just a bunch of rocks."
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Nothing against Tommy or anything.
You can't get too close to it now.
There's a fence, right?
Yeah, there's a big fence.
And why is that?
Well,
people are fucking up.
I guess to preserve it. Yeah. But
Acropolis, have you been there in Athens?
When we go to China, we're going to, you know, we're really grateful the promoter out there is going to take us to the Great Wall. But, you know, I read something like about the amount of people that take a little chunk of it home, stick it in their pocket, you know, it's all breaking down.
I got a piece of the Berlin Wall.
You know, there's...
Somebody gave me, though, I didn't take it.
A huge percentage of it missing now.
It's one of the only human things you can see from space.
Mm-hmm. Apart from the... Did you hear KFC put together the Colonel?
It's a great outtake of him trying to make a commercial. He's all fucked up.
It's crunchy, crunchy, right? It's crunchy. It's cakey, crunchy, tight, you know, fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty bad shit. Whatever about that stuff.
Ask DJ Scotchegg about KFC.
He's way into it. I remember one time we did a gig.
Ironic way, but it's
well, Buckethead wears a hat.
It's spawned into it.
You know about Buckethead, this guitar?
It's a three-headed beast, man.
You know, different pokes for different pokes. Whatever. Floats the boat. Whatever. But there's better chicken being cooked, okay? Go to Roscoe's, get chicken and waffles down there. Just check out our South Coast in Pedro. Get some gizzards. You gotta come to Pedro.
I'd love to, man.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you the tour. The Go Team led to you getting to travel.
This is it.
And you coming to Australia, that's how I meet you, Kez.
This is it. I mean, for me...
Because I was getting that, because I wasn't going around because of mud and my lame-ass knees. Yeah. But usually a festival, this is my chance to see a lot of bands.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't go out much. I wake up the crack of dawn, and usually I'm only up to play my own gigs. And so I'll see the bands are playing with me sometimes. Yeah. My own tour, I got to conk in the boat till it's gig time. So, because I do all the driving and just... Can't hang his cards, but I see a lot of bands, and I saw you cats playing. It did remind me a little bit, not copping on Sonic Youth, but I could tell. And I was like, whoa! But it was different. It was like with other shit going on.
Oh yeah, Sonic Youth is definitely a big influence.
The boss there, Ian.
Yeah, Ian loves Sonic Youth.
So you had another common thing with the pickled egg.
This is it. You know, we have this similar interest in dissonance, you know, not just about being sort of purely melodic, it's about those notes that don't quite fit, and that's a big part of Go Team, you know, and it's kind of interesting for us that we've ended up playing like a big stage at Glastonbury, because lots of people see us as a pop band, but we're not really, because we, you know, things are a little bit askew, and I think that's always going to be a big part of our sound, you know.
You said Ian put it together with the sounds.
Mm.
When I was watching at that festival, I didn't know this. And then you guys asked me to play with you at the Duke of
that was a blast,
York and part of Melbourne.
That's right, yeah.
St. Kilda, by the water.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And I come down there, and I'm backstage. You want me to come on the last song? And some cats back there, one of the team, maybe a road manager or something.
Yeah.
And I'm going, man, what kind of effects are they using? Because I'm hearing horns. And I don't trust myself. You know, they may not be horns. I don't know what the fuck Watson is ignorant. I'm here to learn. And I'm going, man, what kind of pedals that cat using? And he pulls back the curtain, shows me this rack in this black, it's mainly black.
Yeah.
And he goes, sounds are coming out of there.
Yeah.
And I said, what? And he said, yeah, they're playing with sounds coming out of this box here.
Uh-huh.
And so... Now, for some of the set, you jump on the drums.
This is it, yeah.
And this is where I get, well, this is why they got headphones. I thought they were just like some kind of earplug. The lady, that one lady who always plays drums, except she comes out and sings a song. But I was thinking, sensitive ears or something.
Yeah.
But there's clicks.
Yeah, we have a click and we have a backing track. I mean, basically it's, you know, we obviously would love to... work with more instruments, but
you ever think about bringing a horn player on?
We've worked with horn players on the record, obviously, but it's just the logistics. I mean, we're a six piece. We're trying to travel all over the place.
Always worried about ska bands.
Yeah, no.
I mean, they must have a boat to carry the fucking clothes.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to China. You know, trying to figure out how to get out there and get all the gear out there. We're traveling light. It's it's not easy. We're not like a big touring production thing. But in some ways, I really like the fact that it's still quite a simple band in terms of the six players up there, but we're bringing in all these different
samples. Two trios.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a small band by any stretch of the imagination, but at the same time, it could be a massive band, but I think we like to keep it kind of quite sort of focused.
Do you have a name for the machine?
Well, it's got some name, but I don't get involved.
No, but you don't give it a personal name. No, because I know some bands who
Echo
and the Bunny Man. I heard that name came from the Echo was the the drummer or something.
No, we do have those kind of moments where we're like, please work.
Has it ever failed you?
It has just, it used to skip because now we have a big piece of foam underneath it. But, you know, if it
What'd
does,
you do? Was it a vanilla moment?
If it does happen.
You know about that?
No, but if it does happen, we'll just do what we do.
They freaked out. Now, those cats had nobody playing.
Yeah.
So when it went off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all the horn samples are a big part, but we play.
What'd you do? You just ride with it?
Yeah, we can.
Do you ever override it?
We can make a noise. Don't worry about that.
No, but do you ever override it? Like, she's off, and I turn her off.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're good at just playing.
Well, we do a few songs without it. It's not like a huge crutch, but it's.
I couldn't tell what it was. When he told me that, I thought, well, maybe it's the horn thing. And then I came out to play with you, and you guys were definitely playing it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what parts were what.
Yeah.
It's probably what he does, Ian does with the record.
Mm.
Maybe bring some of them sounds.
It's all about trying to recreate as truthfully as possible that sound of all the mashed up samples with all the guitar parts which are live, the drum parts are live, and
two drums.
Recorders and little wind instruments, all kinds of stuff, and vocals. So it is complicated for us up on stage. Sometimes you look around and it's like, okay, I've got to run over there, what am I doing next? But it keeps us on our toes.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Who decides who's going to play what?
I don't know. I mean, with the Goatim, it's very much like Ian's project.
Yeah.
So
you're going to be drummer this time.
Yeah. I mean, it's like he has an idea, but it's not a kind of a super strict thing. We kind of experiment with like who would work on a certain song, and we'll usually find our natural place.
Is there a difference between making the song and then you're going to take it to the people, play it for them?
Things have gone through different stages of evolution. I mean, we've been playing some of the songs of the second record, and they're probably out there and on YouTube or whatever, completely different versions, but the final version on the record is kind of what we're trying to do now. But we've been kind of, because we've been on the road for so long, we've just been trying to work it out as we go along, you know.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
I'm so ignorant, that shit. I want to learn it, in a way. I did have an idea once about just doing a tour playing by myself with machines.
Yeah, with like loop pedals.
And play my bass or have other tracks, you know, like. It was kind of from seeing your thing.
But like Ghost must be a bit like that. With
no, Ghost is just too basic.
Yeah, but like if you were going to multi-track you, like what you do.
Put them in there and then play against myself and do a tour where I'm just playing with myself. I'd be right just to watch one. No, I mean, I'd be playing with other bass parts. No, I have just the idea of the simplicity of it, in a way. You're just this one guy thing, and you have an amp set up that's driven by machines and playing along with it.
Have you ever seen that guy, Bob Look?
Right.
He does an amazing
Arizona
one-man show. Yeah.
He was part of this band called Do-Rag.
Yeah.
Played with another cat. Kind of a roots thing. He's playing
the, and he comes on and he's got the motorbike helmet and he does the dip your boob in my scotch tune. Someone up from the audience. Amazing.
Yeah, but he went to a solo act and I wanted to try something like that, like Uno.
Yeah.
In a way, with machines.
Yeah.
The idea of playing with them. So machines are stern mistresses. Right?
Yeah.
I've had to do things where
room for maneuver.
I did some click track things in the old days with, you know, the cowbell. And then I recently did some with a pop singer. I was asked to come in and play, and they had click track. And all of a sudden, they pull away the music, and I'm playing just to this track. Of course, the song's all done. I have to hear it and learn it, make up a part, and everybody's standing there with their arms folded. It's very pressure cooker situation. You know, so, you know, what do you do? What can you do?
Yeah.
And it was, but it was kind of interesting in a way. It actually was, but...
It's weird, isn't it? Because click track, it's mathematical, it's, you're playing to machine code.
Yeah.
And it's great as well as, like, obviously, like, I mean, like a band like the Dirty Three, they're just an antithesis.
Jim White.
And they're just like, it's so...
We're going to sway.
Swaying.
We're going to speed up. We're going to slow down.
I love both sides, man. I'm always...
Jim White, great drummer.
Between the two sides.
And Mick Turner.
Turner.
On the guitar.
Yeah.
And Warren, of course. Ellis. I got to play with them a big day out. But
easy,
it was 11 years ago. And... Yeah, we were Filthy Four for a song. I think it was usually Jaguar.
You were Filthy Four, were you?
Yeah, they'd come on. They were doing. They'd have me come on and before, and then a bass because they don't use bass.
Yeah, sure.
So I got to jam with him. I also Tricky would have me come and play.
Really?
Yeah. Whoa. And he came and recorded me some. And then he did it. It was another new thing for me. See, I'm not against new things. I'm way into it. Where if you just jam along, and then he just takes pieces of what you're playing, makes songs out of it.
Yeah.
Sort of like when I first recorded with Sonic Youth, I just played to a record for one song, and the other one I just played to Steve Shelley, and then Thurston and Lee put their things on later. No, it was called Evil.
Oh, Sonic Evil, Youth. Right? Okay.
It's the first time I played after Boom was killed. I didn't think people really wanted me to see me play without him, and then Thurston asked me to come, and after doing that project, I thought I got to play Kim's Obeys. It had a cracked in the neck, so it resonates something else on you. It's a big Ovation bass. But I thought after that, whoa, okay, I'm going to stick with music. And that's when I asked Thurston about doing a single, and he wanted to say Madonna to teach one each. And he said, well, we'll call it Chicone Youth.
Yeah.
So actually, they were the one who started it. I took Kira to do a... We have our own New Haven in Connecticut. That's where Gail is, and she had an internship up there. And so on the way back, I stopped in the studio, and that's where they had me play. And that was their idea, their instigation. But then from there, I got the spark, I'm going to keep playing. And then from Ohio, found my phone number. I didn't know you had to pay to be unlisted.
Yeah.
So Edward found me and came to Pedro and Pharaoh's. But
there's a tugboat record as well. The tugboat.
Yeah, that's after Fire Hose. That's my first thing after Fire Hose, where I don't even have a band.
I know. When
I make 17 little bands.
I love that record.
I thought my theory was, it was hence the title, what is the bass? You know, I thought my theory was the bass player knows the song, and anybody can come in and play drums and guitar and sing. Because the bass is just so much glue.
Yeah.
It can pull anybody together without even them playing together. Not even practice, just come in. I thought of the studio as a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
Just get in the ring with Watt.
Yeah.
And so that was the whole idea of that. It was the first time, before that, you know, I only came from bands. You know, the guy grew up with D Boom with music. And then Fire Hose, which is kind of a version of Minuteman with this Edward from Ohio. And then I did have this one side thing, Dose. I had 21 years. But I didn't really, everything was from the band, so if you got other music ideas, you pulled them into the one unit.
Yeah.
I remember like showing Edward Piss Bottle Man, and he was like, well, I don't know if this is our kind of song. So I start thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't have the one group of guys have to take every idea. Maybe I should make separate projects for every idea. That comes later in my life.
Yeah, Chinese Fire Drill. I love that tune.
Joe Carducci wrote the words for that, and I was trying to make kind of pentatonic thing, and I asked Charlie to sing on it, and I think Nels played guitar. Nels incredible influence on my life. I'm gonna make a Black Gang album, but that's what I do now. I wrap cats around projects, you know, different than all funneling through, because that's how I learned to be with D Boone. So you can take any music, That was his theory for the Minutemen. Mm-hmm. Play anything we want, but it just has to sound like Minutemen. Which is weird, huh? But he was trying to tell me we got to inject our own voice, our own personality.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was...
That's key. That's key.
Yeah, especially coming from copying records and arena rock. Yeah, yeah. Boom. Incredible. And a lot of it came from our first experience with this guy who lived in his car, this hippie guy named Roy Mendez Lopez. And he said, you got to find your inner voice. Mm. Which we were idiots. It was like watching our favorite movie was The Sand Pebbles, and we couldn't tell what it was about. Yeah. But we liked the movie. It was our favorite. And that's the same thing. His words were in us, and we didn't know what they meant. And it took the punk thing coming on us, and then seeing Germs and people like this. You're like, oh yeah, you gotta bring something to the party that's of your own. Mm. Now there's a lot of common ground. Mm. Music is this huge human tradition. Mm. So you're really not inventing a whole lot.
No.
But just like with writing a novel, that's an analogy I like to use a lot. You don't have to really invent new words to write an original story.
Yes.
Splash, splash, splash.
Okay, Walk from Pedro show. We start off there with a couple songs that Sam picked. Smile Alone by Hamilton Yards and Clipper by
Charlotte Field.
Tell us about that, Sam.
Hamilton Yards is my flatmate's project. I live with Ian Paxson. He's a creative guy. He's knocking out three albums a year kind of character.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he's a true writer. Do you know what I mean? He has few vices except for expressing it. It's incredible, and he's a real inspiration to live with. In fact, like living with him is a real goading thing because it's that healthy kind of
right.
Not competitiveness, because I'm not competitive with him, but like just it's
living
with someone who's creating all the time. You know, I wake up in the morning, he's playing the piano, I get up and I think, oh man, you know, like, I want to like knock together a tune. It's a really healthy kind of environment as a musician to live with someone who's onto their thing and they're like kind of making music.
We had this one album done, the Hoosiers came to town and made it Zen Arcade, and we were like, man, we gotta make a double album. So we wrote all these songs and that became Double Nickels. Without the Hoosier, that would have never happened. So it's not competition, it's just like, they almost just make the water safe enough.
So this tune anyway is a bit of a collaboration. I mean, Ian wrote the song and asked me to sing vocals on it as well. So we're kind of tag teaming it with the vocals.
Oh wow.
So it's a real nice kind of one-off thing. Although he got me to sing on another one of the songs that's coming out on his record he's working on at the moment. But this is all in our house, our pads. We've got all got our rooms with Econo like recording equipment, and we're just sort of doing our projects and stuff.
Fertile ground, fetid, fecund. And then this Charlotte Field.
Charlotte Field, another Brighton band, really good friends of ours. Ashley, the drummer, he's Insane Things as well, and you played something by them earlier, me, DJ Scotch Egg, and Ashley. But Charlotte Field is one of his bands. Also Akakak, he's a drummer in that. He's the kind of drummer you want to kind of stay close to. He's really turning out the beats, so everyone in Brighton like relishes.
He's in the pad with the drummer, with the drum set.
No, he's not in our pad, but he's someone we all really enjoy working with. He's a true musician.
It's always a problem for us because we live in apartments. It was, where do you put the drums? So that's how we got George Hurley. He had a shed.
We've got like ours in a little cupboard in the toilet, and it's freaked people out because sometimes someone will be in there playing the drums, and someone wants to go and take a crap or something. They're like, do I have to get the drummer out of the cupboard in the toilet, or do I just
no, let him go, man? So that's his thing there.
Yeah, Charlotte Field. Yeah.
Okay, and then we heard Kayoka with We Can Sue. That's not me talking with a lame accent. Those are weird words. And it's done on a power book. And, no virtual instruments.
Wow. Yeah.
Or they are virtual instruments. Mm. Yeah, they're not real instruments. Mm. They're software things. Mm. And, so...
A lot of people can record in this way now. It's amazing. Like Dave Pajo with...
instead of recording on computers, right? We're bringing our analog playing into them.
Yeah.
Why not just start off from there, in a way,
Of course, we'd be creating, right?
They're cutting out the middleman.
Yeah.
The instruments are already in. And I think, to me, it's totally valid.
At the end
of the day, it sounds and emotion. Mm. And actually, even with... stand-up bass with no pickup on it. Mm. That's still a machine that you're trying to teach to laugh and cry. So it's not a far stretch for me to get transistors and a microchip.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's some purists that have a problem with
it. It's all about what you do with the tools that are available, though, isn't it? That's what it's all about. It's like how your imagination interprets the environment. And people working with computers these days, it's, I mean, like Cornelius is a wonderful example of, like, you know, electronica band, but they have live instruments as well. It's all getting meshed
up. I saw them and it was a band.
Yeah.
Somebody told me it was a one-man thing. But
they were a band in ATP when we saw them just recently. And but, you know, it's got this kind of electronica thing. Obviously, a lot of it comes from sounds on you know, computer interfaces as well as live instruments. And
we were kind of like talking heads. I mean, and these cats could play. And they didn't even look at each other. That stuff was sharp.
Yeah.
That was sharp. It's funny, on the last show, Jose was talking about them too. I got to meet the drummer and the bass. They have their own band, and they sent me their music.
Yeah.
It was weird. It just came on me. I didn't know anything about this. In some ways, I'm about 99% of the music out there, I'm ignorant about. And you know what? A lot of it's really good.
Yeah.
So, and instead of getting all uppity about it and like, oh, I don't like it because I ain't heard it, I'm into embracing it if it's happening. And the only thing new is me finding out about it. It's happening. And man, that these cats could play. And yeah, somebody told me it was an electronic thing, but when I saw it, it seemed like four people playing.
No, the lineup at ATP was, guitar, bass, drums, you know, some keyboards and stuff, but their records are really meshed up, aren't they?
I gotta listen to records.
Yeah, it's all kinds of
stuff. Somebody gave me a song and I played one of their songs. It was pretty wild. Mm. Yeah, the guy was just counting 5, 6, 7, 8 or something
like
that.
Yeah.
But he made a whole song out of it. And with kind of a rocking guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, another tune, yeah, yeah.
1, 2, 3, yeah. He's counting from 1 to 6. And he finally gets to 8 at the end, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're at the end of the second hour of the June 23rd, 2007 Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour 3. June 23rd, 2007. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
fast, you and I'll dragon. Have you put a dive toward the future? Black spoons in the yellow, but it's rammed. It's one television. Don't be so decided. Don't be so decided. Please read all the warnings. We're looking at country vinyl. Looking into your body. You know, absolutely. Leveling, we will jeopardize our faith. We will undercut each other. We will do what is paranoid. Do what you are told. Play a role in the storage. Play a role in dependency. Play your role. You can't forget it now. You can't forget it now. You can't forget it now. You can't forget it now.
Okay, Walk from Pedro show. We started the third hour off there with something you pick, Sam.
Yeah. We hear The Mind is Evil by Clear Lake.
No.
Oh, we're here, right?
DJ Scotch Egg.
Yeah, DJ Scotch Egg. Kure, I guess is the way you pronounce it, I'm hoping. But, yeah, DJ Scotch Egg, a really good friend of mine.
A character.
A character. He makes his music on a Game Boy, and he's got a lot to say as well. So, he's quite a package.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got Stooges Road Boss here. Eric Fisher, he witnessed
the Scotch Egg.
Were you there? Did you see the show?
Yeah.
Opening for Devo Wednesday.
I love Devo.
What'd you think of the Scotch Egg?
Interesting.
With the Game Boy?
It's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we had another whip by the Telescopes. The Scarcity of Tanks by Death. No, that's backwards. It's Death. I can't read that. Death East by the Scarcity of Tanks.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm the dodgy scribe.
You went a reverse there. And AAA by Camusi, and we ended up with something from Frank Black called Fort Wayne. You're a big fan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah.
You were talking about Chinese Fire Drill.
Yeah.
And that's Charlie singing that.
Yeah, totally.
And he lives up in Eugene now. He's got family going and stuff, but still making music like crazy. He just wrote a bunch of Pixie songs and some Frank Black stuff too. Mm. He's into collecting a lot of old stuff because for a while there, and I think he still wants to do it, like record direct to two track and stuff like this. Mm. He's balls out guy.
Well, I mean,
he lived a little bit. I think he's from Harbor City, so he lived a little bit in Torrance. So he's kind of a SoCal guy original. Mm. But he went to school in Massachusetts, and that's West Mass is where he did his Pixies. And everybody thinks he's from there.
Yeah.
He's from near Pedro.
Yeah.
Not Pedro, but close.
No,
what were you like, Mount?
We saw Pixies play on their like reunion tour or whatever they were doing when we were out with the Go Team. I think it was in Spain.
I got to play the last gig with them.
Really?
Yeah, he asked me to come in with my second band in New York City.
It was incredible. See, these are songs from my like teenage years where I was getting
formative
music.
They're formative.
And it was incredible to see. I mean, like with a lot of bands, you know, reforming, you sort of wonder whether it's such a good idea. But with them, it was just amazing. It was absolutely spot on. And you think of all the side projects, you know, Kim Deal going off and doing stuff. It's, you know, Breeder's stuff's so amazing. And yeah, it's just a really beautiful thing to see them all come back together and do
that. Was a great Breeder's thing when they were doing that they had Jay come in and sing a bunch of songs.
Yeah.
And then they took his voice off.
Yeah.
I loved it. He ended up, I think his guitar stayed on some of it, but I liked him singing it. And
I love Breeders. They're an amazing band.
Kim had something to do with producing the. This is why I was.
Did the drummer from.
Kim Gordon had something to do with making their first.
Oh, okay. But the drummer played. Drummer from Slint played on something as well, didn't he, with those guys?
Oh, really?
Britt Wolford.
God, who was the drummer? Wasn't it a Luscious Jackson? Or?
Yeah.
Because they were all women.
Yeah.
But on the records they had.
I think there was Britt Wolford like guesting on something.
And they're playing again. Yeah. Slant, huh?
Mm.
DJ Scotch Egg.
Yeah.
How'd you meet this cat? In a pub.
In a pub.
In pub.
But it led to a lot more.
He lives in Brighton?
He lives in Brighton. He's
But he ain't from there?
He's a true nomad. He's from Japan. He never really quite discloses everything about himself. His age is the real gambit. It's like, how old are you, Shige? He's like, his name's Shige. And it's always like, guess.
Does he have grey hair?
No, he doesn't have grey hair.
I
think he's around 25, but...
You're playing the guess game at 25.
He's a true musical nomad. He's kind of arrived in the UK on an arts performing degree, and he's just created this persona, DJ Scotch Egg.
Yeah.
and he makes his music.
I had my first Scotch egg last tour. You know, it's an actual thing. It's this deep fried.
Can you talk to me about Econo and stuff? He is the king of Econo.
Oh shit, a Game Boy.
Yeah, a Game Boy, and we like out and we get Econo meals. They're actually called Econo meals from the curry house around the corner. It's like £2.75 for a little bit of chicken curry and rice. And yeah, I've been hanging out with him for quite a few years. We've been making music together. And
shit, Econo meals for 13 cents for macaroni and cheese, all right?
He's a true legend.
Or 19 cents for ramen. Those are the good old Or for like the big munchies from Malta, you get the oatmeal, because it would fill you up. In fact, one time me and D-Bone almost drowned on it. It was after work. We were pulling a graveyard shift. We were so tired. We conked out in our oatmeal. And good things are hit forehead.
Makes sound.
Yeah, and our foreheads hit the lips of the bowl. I could have seen the newspaper. Yeah, boys, the evils of Malta, huh? The boys, another claims two more victims. D-Boone could conk anywhere.
Really?
He'd conk in the bathtub.
Well, he must have conked in the back of the truck on the cover of the record a few times, I'm guessing. The one with the gash.
Oh, that Impala.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a buddy make a painting of that.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Yeah, the Impala's father gave it. 67.
Did it have
it had a V8 327, but it ran on like 5 cylinders, so it sounded like a giant sewing machine.
did he have a conk zone in the back?
Oh, yeah. They had big back seat.
Yeah.
50 boom, yeah. No problem. He had a Falcon, a 64 Falcon that was hilarious. It had a hole in the exhaust system and then a hole in the deck. One time I was driving up, we're going to a gig, and I passed him on the freeway. Coincidence. And we got a lot of smog in LA, but there was actually more. He had a blue cloud going in that vehicle. I was like, oh, deep bones. And luckily a garbage truck backed up into it a couple weeks later, and he had to get rid of it. Yeah. Yeah. And then he wasn't in it. It was parked and somebody bashed it. So he had to get rid of it. Batman, come on. That happened to us once in the Black Flag van. We were borrowing it for a San Francisco gig with Saccharine Trust. All of us are in there. And the catalytic converter clogs. And man, we were dying. There was one vent. The windows didn't roll down, of course. And there's one vent on the roof and everybody's mouth is up there. Georgie gets a hammer and a screwdriver and starts, you know, chiseling big old ass holes in the dash. That Dukeski was all pissed off when he turned it. I remember I'm hearing this clunk, you know, clunk, 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 every time we have to torque on the motor. And I go and open up the hood. They got the alternator sitting on a block of wood. You left Econo. You don't know, the death rides. But, yeah, you got something else you're going to play here, right?
Somebody by Clear Lake? Clear Lake. Again, I'm bigging up my hometown, but Clear Lake, good friends of mine from Brighton, on Domino Records, and The Mind is Evil, which is an interesting concept. listen to the words. It's
okay.
A good song.
Here we go.
No such thing as a cold, careless heart. light. The architect of us must admit we were faulty by design. I know what you're thinking. I walked away running, but I didn't have a choice. My renaissance is bleeding, the shackles are breaking. I can finally hear my vocal cords.
Electric City. Dangerous. Why not? Why not? Cup of tea. Two sugar. Why not? Why not? Cancel tax. It's not good, man. Hip hop. Why not? Why not? Picture in front of me. Very nice.
Michael Jackson. Ooh, exactly. Michael Jackson. Why not? Exactly. Ooh,
we just started the last chunk with The Mind is Evil by Clear Lake, followed by Dali Malaise, High Entropy, and then we had Beyond the Edge of Reason by Davis Hurley, following that, we had Your Black Hair by Wodka, and then we had Why Not by Same Things, and we finished off with Wealth of Pride by 100 Pets.
Now, you picked them last two?
Huh?
You picked them last two?
Yeah, that's right.
What, you want me to tell you about it?
Yeah.
Okay, Why Not is Same Things tune, which is me, DJ Scotch Egg, and Ashley from Charlotte Field. No, I don't think Ashley was there for that one. Anyway, it was...
You're not on the tune.
No, I'm on the tune, but I don't think Ashley was there. It was me and Shige, a.k.a. DJ Scotch Egg. I've got this harmonium. You know that?
Yeah, sure.
With the pedals.
You gotta work it.
With the wind bag and everything.
Bellow.
So I'm working the bellows, and he just starts freestyling, and I don't know. I think you should make up your own mind about what it's about, but it's called Why Not. And finishing off with one of my tunes from my last record, which is way old now, and I'm going to get a new one out soon. But
it's
called Wealth of Pride.
Wealth of Pride. Sam, thank you so much for coming on. But I want to know, where do you want to take music?
Where do I want to take music?
In Sam Duke world.
It's going to be a funny path, because I'm going to be on tour buses and stuff with the Go team, and I'm going to be loving that and embracing with that, and trying to do my songwriting stuff with 100 Pets and doing a project with DJ Scotch Egg, and it's a pretty big collage actually. So I want to explore lots of different avenues and just constantly challenge myself, really. That's what it's all about, challenging yourself.
Possibilities.
Yeah.
The world of possibilities. Yeah. The realm of possibilities. Are you playing more bass? You play bass on one side.
Yeah, that's right. They're like cables, aren't they? The strings.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
Yeah.
What happened? Did the boss say, hey, I want you on bass? Or was that your idea?
Yeah, no. I mean, I've played bass. I play bass on all my own recordings and stuff.
Oh, whoa.
But yeah, I play with the
plectrum. Because you wrote me once, like, whoa, these are...
No, I play with a plectrum, so I don't consider myself...
Said the strings were pretty tough, aren't you?
Yeah. It takes some working, definitely, yeah. But I'll do my best.
In the studio, maybe, in front of people, it's a little... You have to whoop it up a little more.
Yeah.
Why not try fingers?
Yeah, well, you have to know which one to operate, don't you? Like, in a kind of...
No, go back to them... Little Lux days.
Yeah.
Where, you know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to just try.
Well, yeah, this is it. I've still got the bass unit on the guitar, so stay tuned.
Did you guys fret that or did it drum?
Did we what?
Fret it or did it drum?
Did we fret it?
Yeah.
The guitar, you mean?
No, but that string.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah. No, it's like a G string off a bass or something like that. And
so you did still fret on it?
Oh, yeah. We can, but we drop it down low, and it's with the octave pedal as well.
Yeah,
imagine. We're going way down.
Yeah, whoa. One time I used an octave pedal just recently. I was asked to do this Blue Oyster Cult song, and I had to sing it, you know, my massive range. So I had to pick this key where the bass wasn't really on a four string, you know, sometimes if you're in D. Yeah, you're not really that low. So I use an octave thing to get it low.
That's a good rumbling sound as well.
Wow.
Like with the bass unit, you know, you get the A string gets in there as a bit, and if it's a chord like a third or something, it kind of makes the octave pedal like stumble a bit, and it's kind of wah 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 wah. It's kind of struggling.
Oh, so you're in a bass chord.
So you get like a really weird.
You get in with that Bronca Symphony 13 piece. That guy's got some flatted second chords. Oh man, you want to hear some. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Flatted seconds on the bass and nothing like that. I really hope you guys get to play with him.
Oh,
do
man.
That.
Well, you know, put in a good word for us, man.
Sure. No, yeah. I definitely, definitely will.
We'd love to do that. That'd be a real honor.
Man. He usually does 2 days of prac right before.
Yeah.
And they're intense. The pracs are intense.
Yeah. What about the dress code? Were you allowed to wear your flannel?
Yeah. No dress code.
Cool.
A lot of cats were wearing black, not me. You know what happened to me was a fever came up on me.
Oh yeah, the sickness, man. It's a tough one.
But you know what? I was not going to fucking... Yeah, what happened was, I don't know what happened, but I must have got it before the prac, because it usually takes 3 days to incubate.
Mm.
But But here, you know, after 2 days, here's the day of the gig, and the fever comes on me, and it's like, oh my God, I'm going to still do this gig.
Yeah.
So I played it all sick out of my fucking head. But I, like I said, I sat next to Virgil, so I had the drummer right there, and then John Meyer was conductor, and he counted out every measure.
Wow.
Bad. So you could just follow him, and of course I had the music.
That weird, because
I played with Meyer.
I don't come from an academic background in music.
Yeah, I kind of do.
So that would be really weird.
I played with Meyer, though. He's another PhD now, but he was in Rad-R. I played with him, 82, 83, Minuteman.
Mm.
They were a New York City band.
Mm.
Kind of like Live School, kind of like Sonic Youth.
Mm.
And, man, when I... After the first practice, I was talking with him. You know, hey, you're doing a great job. It's hard sometimes to remember people. Like, a writer came to my pad and opened up the yearbook. Who's he? What's he doing? I can't remember him. It's terrible. It's so embarrassing. But there was something, and then, what? You don't remember? And like, oh, John, I'm sorry. And then I remember totally. And he's great. And here he is conducting this piece. I got to be. My mom's sister went. Melinda went, it was at the Disney Center, this blue kind of thing downtown LA. It's just built. Geary designed the building. Frank here. And man, it was incredible. Even with the fever, I remember. Yeah, I worked with a guy, Shane O'Brien, fever. Yes. Yeah, he was like. Yeah, part of this. He brought his union book, the Iron Worker book, have all the cast signed it. It was a trip. I just met a guy who was part of it, a Czech guy named Camille, was at the gig in Lowlands in Holland. It's a great thing. By doing that piece, you come together with a lot of cats. Because Branka is a,
well, I mean,
is it a kingpin, or what, I shouldn't say kingpin, but a crux, a meeting point of a lot of different cats.
Well, that's how Lee and
Thurston
met,
Yeah, and Thurston told me it was Kim's idea for him to play with. Don't ever forget Kim. But, Glenn, and I was talking, get this, after that first practice, me and Glenn are talking, and I told him, you know, we were talking about the Sonics and all this, and his music, his effect, and I said, hey, man, I just played with this band in Australia that uses some of your stuff. He goes, yeah? I said, yeah, they're called Goatee. And he was like, whoa. He said, well, I put them scales out there. I put that stuff out there. I didn't try to hide anything. So he'd probably be way wild to have you aboard.
Yeah,
he wants passionate people that will give the thing life. And it don't have to be an academic thing. I mean, there's some work you got to put into it to make it right.
Yeah.
Between the LA
ones. A lot of organization with that many players.
Reg, his wife, does a lot of that. Much respect and credit to her. But it's all the cats coming together to celebrate Dick Glenn's music, which I think is a great thing, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the power of music. I mean, we're all individuals, but the way coming across on common ground that isn't like nationalistic or racist or stupid shit like that, and it's all together for art and expression, it is a righteous thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's the biggest... show of free will in a way, and not selfishness, because you all come together, but not under some pseudo like phony magic wand that's going to get rid of the wrong people. You're just celebrating this thing. So Glenn's work gets out there through the means of all these different thumbprints.
Absolutely.
You know, so you guys, you come over there, you bring your thing to it, man. It'd be righteous. I hope the sketch, I'll find out when the dates are. But you know what? It's been a real pleasure for you to have me on my show. No, Sam, and all the music you brought aboard, I wish you much success with the Go Team and with the 100 Pets.
Thanks,
and all these cats you got making music with you, right?
Yeah.
And them in their own trips.
Yeah.
They're even living with some of these cats. It's wild. You know, the commune,
totally.
The compound, the collective. You know, and you're just going for it. And be sure to send me more music, because I'd like to get it happening. And thanks again.
Thanks for having me. It's been a real honor. Thank you.
I got quite a poem. going, so I don't get to see you play tomorrow, but I get to see you in Valencia.
This is it, yeah, we're going to hook up and you're going to come on stage again.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we'll get you again.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get into that. Good thing. I think I told them on the show after that experience. And the first one was a trip, too. The second one, I remember Jamie showing me the cards and Bossman, and so we go, and then I get up there and I just panic and
kick,
just boom, right over.
Get kicked up about
it. Big charge. Anyway, love you much, Sam.
Thank you very much. Cheers, mate.
Okay, that's June 23rd, 2007, Wapa Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.